blessed to have been here before, and always I have left this camp blessed, enriched, helped, encouraged, strengthened by the Lord. And I'm just honored that you brethren allowed me to come back one more time. I certainly love the pastors that sponsor this meeting. What wonderful men of God they are. And I want each of you to know today that I highly esteem you and I appreciate you very, very much. And I know you young people consider yourself blessed to have the great men of God that you have in your life. Whoever your pastor is, I know you're grateful and thankful and appreciative that God has placed them in your life as overseers. And I'm here to be a blessing, and trusting that the Lord will just use me according to His will and His desire. How many is going to join your hearts and your minds and your spirits with me for the next little bit and allow the Lord to speak to you, to touch you, and help you today? And weren't we blessed last night by the great preaching of the Word of God? Brother Mark certainly allowed himself to be used of the Lord, and it helped me. And I want him to know, I haven't seen him yet today, but I want him to know that I appreciate him obeying the Lord. And glad we're able to team up this week. We haven't been able to spend a lot of time together. We've been talking on the phone. I've heard him preach one time prior. And I'm just glad we're able to be together this week. And doesn't matter how I do in the day, I know you're going to be blessed in the evening services. And so I'm glad to be connected with Brother Marks. Certainly a man that is walking close with the Lord and allowing God to use him as a voice in this generation. God bless you, minister and brother, and I love you and I appreciate you. And I'd like for you to turn with me to the book of Exodus, and I would like us to read one verse of scripture. It is a portion of a song written and sang by Moses and the children of Israel. Exodus chapter 15, begin reading at verse 11. And also we'll read from the book of Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 15 and verse 11, the Bible says, "Who is like unto thee, O Lord, among the gods? Who is like thee? Glorious in holiness, fearful in praises, doing wonders." I'd like for you to turn with me now to the book of Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 3. Very familiar scripture. Begin reading at verse 16. Apostle Paul said this was what he was bowing his knees to God for. That God would grant you according to the riches of His glory to be strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man. That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. That ye being rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehend with all of the saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height. And to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that ye may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto Him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto Him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. How many wants the glory of God to continue to rest upon the church? Just as a side note, I can say this. We can let God make our hearts perfect in love. We'll never have to want for the glory of God to rest upon the congregation and to move in the hearts of the people. Amen. Let's pray the Lord's blessings upon His Word today. God, we love You. We lift You up. You're wonderful. We thank you for your anointing. We thank you for the unction of your Spirit. We thank you for the power of your presence. We thank you, Lord, for what you're doing. We thank you, Lord, for this word that you're going to speak to us this morning. I pray, God, you have your way. Say what you want to say. Do what you want to do. Anoint me your speaker and anoint, God, the congregation as the hearers of the word. And make us one in your presence, Lord. Let the glory of your touch rest upon us and work your will. In Jesus' name I pray. We'll give you the praise and the glory. Let's worship the Lord together. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Bless your name. Bless your name. God bless you. You may be seated. You know, as I have approached these services, there's things that I felt like God was speaking to me, preparing my heart and my mind for this youth camp. And I have been looking forward to these dates for quite some time. And you know, this typical story, brethren. I got home last night and tried to prepare what I'd been preparing all along and trying to touch it up, make sure we're ready. And finally, I went to bed and got up this morning and went to prayer. And I don't know, we just may visit that subject sometime later this week, tomorrow maybe. But I felt like the Lord visited me this morning in prayer and put this message on my heart. And so I know that God has got a special work He wants to do within you today, and a special word that He wants to speak to you young people. How many are ready to receive the word of the Lord? Hallelujah. Amen. This is a scripture that stirred in my heart while I was praying this morning. 2 Chronicles chapter 16 and verse 9. The prophet said, "For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong in behalf of those whose heart is made perfect toward him." Amen. Young people, the eyes of the Lord run to and fro all across the whole earth, and he's looking to show himself strong on behalf of them whose hearts are made perfect toward him. God is looking to show himself great and mighty in every part of the world. Doesn't matter what nation, it doesn't matter what location. Amen. The Lord is looking for people whose hearts are perfect toward him, that he can show his favor, that he could show his power, that he could show his glory, that he could put his blessings upon them, that they can become vessels that show forth the glory of God. As I was sitting in service last night, I was reminded of the familiar scripture where the Bible commands us, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." Amen. There is an act of worship that we perform when we come to the house of the Lord by clapping our hands and lifting our hands and raising our voices in worship towards God. But can I tell you, the greatest worship that you can give to God is a life that's lived in accordance with his will. A life that's lived according to his word, where men see your good works and they glorify your Father which is in heaven. A life that manifests, "I am God's, I am Christ, I am solely devoted and dedicated to his will, to his word, and to his purpose." God is looking for young people in this generation that will commit themselves to living according to his plans, his precepts, his statutes, his commandments, that he may bless you and favor you and show this world that there is a God who is mighty and great and powerful in the lives of those that fear him. Hallelujah.
Amen. Does it matter to you, young people, that there's the living God of heaven that's looking today for hearts that'll say, God, I want to be a vessel for your glory. I want to be used of you. I want to know you. I want to manifest you to this world. I want to be a channel, Lord. I want to be the light you want me to be. Hallelujah, hallelujah. As I was praying again this morning, I felt the Lord stir my heart. Amen. The desire of God is strong and it's great. He's wanting to move. He's wanting to work. He's wanting to send His glory. He's wanting to manifest His mighty power in this generation. He's looking for some more young people that'll say, God, you can count on me in this world. Amen. To give myself to you. Without hesitation and without reservation, totally devoted, completely dedicated to you. Young people, God's wanting to show His mighty power to you. He's wanting to show His mighty power through you. He's wanting to make your life a living testimony of how good He is, how great He is, how mighty He is, how loving He is, how long-suffering He is, how patient He is. What do you say right here today? Let's recommit ourselves to God and say, Lord, I'm a vessel that's willing to allow you to use me to show your glory. Hallelujah. Let's just tell Him that right now for a moment. Hallelujah. I love you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Here we are, Lord. We give ourselves to you. Use us for your glory. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. God bless you. You could be seated. You know, Moses, the writer of the words of our text that we read in Exodus chapter 15, was tending sheep on the backside of the desert. The Bible said that an angel of the Lord came and set a bush on fire. Moses was intrigued. That the bush was burning, but it was not being consumed or destroyed. And he said, I will turn aside and see this great sight. The Bible said when he turned aside to behold the bush, the Lord spoke to him from the bush. Said, Moses, the place where you're standing is holy ground. Take off your shoes. The first point I want to make today, young people, is you will be amazed what just a little bit of turning aside unto God can develop into. Just letting interest, hearing a message, a word, a song, a testimony, cause you to want to just maybe turn all the music off and sit quietly and meditate on the Lord. You'll be amazed what that can turn into. What just saying, God, I could do anything with some extra time that I have right now, but I'm going to kneel beside my bed. I'm going to seek your face and say, God, there's something in me stirring. There's something in me that's hungry. There's something in me that's desiring to know you. I don't think I'm anybody. I don't see how I can ever become anything great. But God, there's something in me. I want to know you. And God, whatever plan you have for me and whatever purpose you have for me, God, I want you to have your way with my life. I'm going to challenge you, young people. Why don't you just turn aside a little bit
Why don't you give God a little extra time? Why don't you give God some undivided attention? Why don't you purpose that this week is going to be a week that changes the rest of your life? Let this week become a burning bush where you just turn aside and you look unto God and you say, Lord, I'm interested in what you're doing now and what you're going to do in this earth. Hallelujah. There's young people in this place. The eye of the Lord is upon you. The hand of the Lord is upon you. The will of God is for you. God has got purposes and plans. He wants to use you. He wants to lay His anointing on you. He wants to put His unction in your spirit. He wants you to know His power. He wants you to know His glory. Amen. What kind of effect does that invitation have upon your soul today? Amen. I pray that every one of you would say, God, if you would just choose to use me in any way. God, I give myself readily, quickly. I don't hold it back in any way. Whatever you want, I'm yours. Hallelujah. Use me for your glory. How many wants the Lord to use you right now? Let the Lord see a response here. Use me, Lord. Use me, Lord. Use me, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Let me just remind you today, young people, we serve a mighty God. We serve a miracle working God. He's a wonder working God. You know what? And it starts with a work within you. It starts with a work within you, then God does a work through you. He saves you, and then He uses you to help save others. Amen. And so I want to tell you today, I know some of you have been born again. Maybe the majority of you have obeyed the gospel, repented of your sins, been baptized in Jesus' name, and received the gift of the Holy Ghost. You have felt and experienced the power of God. Amen. And so I know that you have experienced God, so I'm not going to preach to you like you haven't experienced God, because that basis can become a testimony of the miracle working power of God. How many knows He can change your heart? He can change your mind. He can transform your spirit. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Amen. Aren't you glad that the Lord can save you at a young age and it be a true work of salvation? Amen. You quit lying. You quit looking at what you shouldn't look at. You quit listening to the music you shouldn't listen to. Aren't you glad for the help that the Lord has already given to you? He'll help you to forgive the unforgivable. Let me just say it like this today. I want you to know that the God in heaven, who is the Savior of the world, amen, will do whatever it takes to save you. Whatever you require to make it to heaven, God's got it and He'll give it to you. Whatever deliverance you need, whatever freedom you need, whatever bondage you need broken today, He is the Savior and He has come to save us from our sins. There's not a sin, there's not a bondage, there's not a habit, there's not a bad spirit, there's not a bad attitude that the Lord won't help you overcome. If you want to win, you can win. There's enough power in the blood. There's enough power in the Spirit to help you. Hallelujah. Oh, the blood of Jesus. Oh, the blood of Jesus. It washes white as snow. All you got to do to become clean is put the blood on it. There's still power in the blood today, young people. It's still a safe place. Just as sure as the Hebrews, when they lived in Goshen, could trust the blood of the Lamb upon their doorpost to preserve them and protect them and keep them alive, you can trust the blood of Jesus Christ to cover you and to cleanse you and to purge you and to protect you.
I thought about the old song that says, one touch of His hand this morning. The song goes like this, one touch of His hand and the blind eyes could see. One touch of His hand and the captives were free. One touch of His hand has saved my lost soul and given me rest in the Master's great fold. I'm preaching today the exceeding greatness of God. Your sin is no match for His grace. His grace is sufficient. His grace is sufficient for my sin. His grace is sufficient for my adversity. One touch of His hand and my troubles are gone. One touch of His hand and I'm not left alone. Every heartache must flee at the Master's command. Hallelujah, I'm free by the touch of His hand. I'm just telling you what the answer is today, young people. All over again, the answer to all of your struggles, all of your sin struggles, all of your spiritual adversities is the blood of the Lamb and the touch of the Holy Ghost. That is what you need today. And when you get in trouble, when you get in struggles, when you get in trials, get under the blood and let the Holy Ghost touch you one more time and God will raise you up. Let me slow down. You may be seated and just press this point just a little bit more today. Whatever you require to be saved, God's got it and He'll give it to you. And don't you ever doubt that He's willing and that He stands ready to give it to you. It's not easy to forgive. I wished it was easier. I wished it was easy to just let go of wounded and hurt feelings and be healed immediately. I wish some things we didn't have to wrestle with. But that scripture sure has helped me. Because there's things that I've had to wrestle with in the spirit. There's things I've had to wrestle with. I've had to pray in one prayer meeting and then another prayer meeting and another prayer meeting. I thought I had the victory over it, and it's those feelings rise again. Those thoughts come back. And, oh, God. And I have to wrestle and wrestle and pray. Wrestle with my flesh. Wrestle with demonic powers. Wrestle. The Bible said we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. Amen. What I'm telling you, sometimes you're not going to just step into a battle and you're going to win it like that. You're going to have to wrestle it through. Like Jacob wrestled with an angel in the night. He said, I'm not going to let you go. I'm not going to let you go. Wrestling. I'm not going to let you go until you bless me. God's got it and I want it. God's got it and I can have it. And I'm not going to stop until I get it. He's purchased my salvation. He's purchased my deliverance. He's purchased my freedom. And I'm not going to stop until I get it. It's not that I can have it. I just got to keep praying until I get it. God's going to keep doing a work in my heart, a work in my mind, a work in my spirit until He accomplishes His will in my life. I'm challenging some young people in this place today. Get a hold of the grace of God. Get a grip on the grace of God. Be a Jacob. Jacob was running for his life. You know the story, and I'm not going to just take a long time and tell it all today. He was running for his life. He lighted on a certain place. He laid his head down to sleep, and as he slept, he had a dream. He dreamed about a ladder that was placed upon the earth that reached to the heavens. The Bible said he saw angels ascending and descending. He saw the Lord above. He awoke and he said, the Lord was in this place. And I knew it not. I'm going to tell you, young people, when God starts to become real to you, that He's not just the God of your father,
But now He's becoming your God. Amen. It's amazing if you'll just go ahead and open that heart on up and start saying, okay, God, I'm honored. I'm privileged that You are letting me know You for myself. Jacob, he sets the stone that he had for a pillow up for a pillar. He makes a vow to God. He said, God, if You'll keep Your hand on me, and You'll keep me safe, You bring me back to my father's land, I'll make You my God. After so many years, he hears the voice of the Lord say, it's time to go back. So he takes his family and he brings them back to the land of Canaan. As he left, he didn't even tell his father-in-law that he was taking his daughters and his grandchildren. Laban got angry and took off after him in a hasty rage. And as he was going, the Lord visited him and said, I'm telling you, you don't do anything to Jacob. Laban had already confessed to Jacob, the Lord's been good to me because You've been with me. I've been blessed because of You. And so Laban goes on and he meets Jacob. He said, I'm not happy, but the Lord's visited me and told me not to lay a hand on you. So he was able to hug his daughters and grandchildren. They parted their ways. It was after that that Jacob was about to face Esau, who he had run from for so many years. And now he's facing his past. Needs God. I need Your favor, Lord. I need You working with me. I need You working for me. God, I can't fix all this. I got myself in some tight spots. I've made Esau angry. I've took advantage of him. I took advantage of him when he was weak. I need Your mercy. I need You to help me. That's when he wrestles with the angel in the night before he meets Esau. He says, I'm not going to let You go. I got an opportunity with deity. And I'm not going to let this moment pass me by. I'm not letting You go until You bless me. I'm going to tell you, God was visiting Jacob all throughout his life up to this point. God was after Jacob. But Jacob got to a place in life where he knew he needed God more than anything else. And so in that moment of that wrestling match, Jacob turns and reaches and gets a hold of God. He says, all right, God, if this is who I'm supposed to be, You want to do a work in my life, we're at the breaking point. Right now, I want to know You. I need a blessing. And the Lord touched him that day and He changed him. Changed him from Jacob to Israel. He says, as a prince, You have prevailed. You have power with God and You have power with man. I'm challenging some young people today to get a hold of the grace of God. God pursues you in life. But somewhere in life, there's got to come a moment to where we say, okay, God, it's not You after me anymore. I'm after You from this day forward. God, You visited me. You visited me time and time and time again. And I have yielded. But God, I've come to a place in life that I'm ready to accept Your calling, Your purpose, Your will, and Your plan in my life. I'm going to reach out and get a hold of the promises that You've made to me. And God, I'm going to pray and let You make the changes that You need to make in my life to bring me to my place in this world.
What I'm trying to tell you, young people, God will do whatever it takes to save you and to help you to become the person that He wants you to be in His kingdom. You just got to come to a moment that you just reach up and you get a hold of that plan. You get a hold of that purpose. You get a grip on that grace. And you say, okay, God, I don't deserve it. I'm not worthy. I haven't been what I should be. But if this is Your plan, and I know it is, I'm going to reach and get a hold of You. And I'm not going to turn You loose. And I'm going to let You have Your way with my life. Hallelujah. 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 There ought to be some young people reach up right now. You need to get a grip on the grace of God. Don't let feelings of failure, don't let feelings of undeserving get a hold of you. God's got a plan for you. Get a grip on the grace of God. Get a grip on the grace of God. God gives us what we don't deserve. God will bless us more than we deserve. He's a God of exceeding greatness. He's got mercy that's everlasting. I just think we ought to pray for a little bit. Hallelujah. 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 You know, the Lord started talking to Moses and said, now Moses, I got a plan. I want you to go lead the people out. I've heard their cry. I've seen their oppression. And I'm sending you a deliverer. And Moses is like, God, I can't speak. Stutter. I can't do that. The Lord says, who made your mouth? What we need is the spirit of acceptance. We may not know how God's going to do what He plans to do. But just let me tell you, if you'll just make the dedication and you'll make the consecration, God will show His mighty power in you and through you. He will bring you to His purpose and His plan. I can't tell you how you get there outside of God's direction and His will. You don't even have to promote yourself. You just dedicate yourself to God. You walk in the Spirit and you live for God. God will get you to His plan and His purpose, and He'll do it in wonderful, miraculous ways. Have the spirit of acceptance like Mary when the Lord sent an angel to visit her and said, you're going to have a child. She's like, no, God, I'm not worthy. I'm not deserving. No, she just said, well, how can this be? I'm not resisting. I'm not saying no, but how can this thing be? The Lord said, the power of the Almighty will overshadow thee. The power of the Highest will come upon you. And she says, so be it. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, young people, you will be amazed what God will do in your life. As you just keep that spirit of submission, humility before God, and dedication unto the Lord, and say, so be it, Lord. So be it, Lord. Whatever You want, whatever You desire, I'm willing to let You use me. Let's pray again in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Express to the Lord. Express to the Lord your spirit of acceptance here today. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. name of Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 If you still have your Bibles, let's look at Ephesians 1. The Apostle Paul said here in Ephesians chapter 1 to the church at Ephesus that he ceased not to give thanks for them, making mention of them in prayers. This was the Apostle Paul's prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation, what? In the knowledge of Him. How many wants God to open your understanding of His greatness? He said, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of His calling. What potential lies in the divine visitation of God upon us. And what the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints. He says, I'm praying that you can understand what the hope of your calling is. Being called into the kingdom and having been born again, what potential lies in that? He said, I want you to understand what you have inherited, what has been invested in you by the glorious empowerment of the Holy Ghost. And what is the exceeding greatness of His power? What? To usward, who believe according to the working of His mighty power, which He wrought in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and set Him at His own right hand in the heavenly places. Far, everybody say, far above. Now, I was raised country. We used to sing far above all else. I thought F-O-R. Not F-A-R. Far above all else. I was a little simple, but God's patient with me. He brings me to understanding. The Bible said that Christ is far above all principalities and powers. Whatever you're struggling with personally, whatever rises against you, you need to know what's been invested in you. And greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. You've got overcoming power. You've got greater power. God is for you. And if God be for you, who can be against you? We need to have the revelation that the greater of the spirits dwells within us through the power of the Holy Ghost. That doesn't matter. What doesn't matter what I'm going through. It doesn't matter what kind of weakness I have. I've got overcoming power dwelling within me. Christ is far above. And so it doesn't matter what name I put on my problem. Whether it's physical sickness. Whether it's spiritual adversity. Whether it's fleshly weakness. I've got a name that has power. That is above all of the other. Amen. Weaknesses and sins and shortcomings. And that is the name of Jesus. And the Bible said, whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. I'm telling you, you got a name that you can call on. A God who is greater. He is your God. And you can trust Him. You can call on Him. You can seek His face and depend on Him to give you overcoming power. If young people understood really the potential of being raised in the truth, what advantage it is if they could just let the Holy Ghost move and stay alive and resident and active in their lives. There's no limits what you can become, young people. Just let the Holy Ghost visit you. Learn how to pray and pray in the Spirit. Learn how to worship and worship in the Spirit. And just let the Holy Ghost have His way. Learn how to turn loose and let God be mighty. And let God be great. And let God be powerful upon you and in you. A And then in chapter 3, he said, unto him who is able to do exceeding abundantly above that which we can even ask or think. Do you still believe that God is able? Do you still believe that God is able to do everything you can think of and ask Him for and more? What I'm telling you, the plans and the purposes of God go beyond the prayer that you can even make to Him. Whatever your deepest desire is to God, young people, whatever you long from God the most, God's telling us again today, I can do that and more. That's just the beginning point of what I want to do for you, in you, and through you. Unto him that's able to do exceeding abundantly above that which we can even ask or think. According to what? You got it. When you receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost, you receive the power that is able to do that exceeding work. We just got to get in the Spirit and let it work. Get in the Spirit and let it move. How many young people want to let the Holy Ghost move on you this week? How many wants to get in the Spirit and just let go? Says, I don't care how long I pray today. I don't care how long we sing and worship. I don't care. I just want a visitation of God. God's brought me to the kingdom for such a time as this. I want to let Him have His way. I want Him to show me personally how great He is. I want to leave this camp saying, how great is our God. Sing with me, how great is our God. All will see how great. How great is our God. I may close right here. I heard Brother Booker tell a story. And if you've heard it, I'm borrowing it from him, so I'm giving him the credit. But if you haven't, you won't forget it. He said there was a pro golfer that was invited by a king to help him improve his golf game. Boy, it's getting spiritual now, isn't it? And he was greatly honored that the king would invite him to come over and allow him to spend some time with him and be able to get on the golf course and, you know, try whatever way he could to help the king improve his golf game. Anybody heard this story? I'm checking my crowd out. All right, there's one. And he's like, got over there in royalty. I got out on the course and he spent several days with him. And just like the king desired, this golfer was able to give him some tips and some pointers and he helped the king improve his game, and the king was thrilled. I mean, the king was happy. And so it come time for the golfer to leave, and the king said, listen, you've really helped me. I appreciate you taking time and coming over and being with me. I'd like to do something special for you. And I really don't know what would be special to you, but I could do whatever for you. I just want to do something that would mean something to you. So would you tell me, what can I do for you? And that golfer's like, oh man, what do I ask a king for? He's royalty, he's rich. Do I ask for something extravagant? No, he was going to be modest. So he thought he'd be practical. End result, he said, I'll just be practical. I came over here to help him improve his golf game. And so what I'll do, I'll just ask him to buy me some nice golf club. Get me a nice golf club, whatever he wants to buy, whether it's an iron or wedge or whatever. Y'all might can help me with the terms. Wedger's not a word, I don't believe. A wedge.
All right, I'm getting better. I should have got coached before I told this story. And so, felt good. That's what I'll ask him. So he said, just buy me a golf club. That's fine. And that would be nice. Well, he leaves, and when he leaves, he doesn't get a golf club. He's like, well, did I insult the king? Did he want me to ask for more? He flew on back to the States, and a week passed, he didn't hear anything. He's like, what? Man. I didn't understand what happened. Trying to figure it out. Sometime later, he received a letter in the mail from the king. And when he opened it up, the king said, I am so sorry that it's taken me so long to grant you your request, but it took me a long time to find what I wanted to purchase. And so, I am sending you the deed to a so many acre golf club. Kings don't think like we think. I'm telling you, God thinks big when He thinks about you. We're saying, give me a golf club, and that'll be great. God says, you don't even know what I want to do and what I'm willing to do, what I'm desiring to do. You believe God's able to exceed our expectations? I believe God's able to exceed our expectations. Just ask Zacchaeus. All he wanted to do was see Jesus. And so he climbs the tree. And Jesus walks by and says, I'm going home with you today. This day is salvation come to your house. You think God can exceed our expectations? We could be a blind man sitting at the gate saying, alms, alms, alms. And God can send a Peter and John by our way that says, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee in the name of Jesus Christ. Rise up and walk. This is what God wants to do for you, young people. This is what God wants to do with your life. What do you say? Give yourself to Jesus. Give yourself to Jesus. And say, God, I don't know what my life is, what the potential of my life is, but I give it to you. I may be 5 loaves and 2 fishes or less than that in your hands. But the key is being in your hands, because you can bless it and you can break it, and it can be multiplied and multiplied and multiplied and multiplied. Would you stand with me today? Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. A while back, there was this pastor friend. Some of you ministers may know the story. Pastor friend wanted to take a little time and plan a way that he could pay his mortgage off for his church quicker. He wanted to discipline himself, the church, a little more and use the finances for... I'm using the word discipline. That may not be right. That sounds like he was wasting money. I'm sorry. That wasn't a good choice of words. But he was like, I want to get the mortgage paid off quicker. I think we need to hurry up and just pay it off quicker. So he come up with a plan that they were going to start giving extra money, and they were going to get that mortgage paid off quicker. Can I tell you, before he could pay the first month on the plan, somebody called the church and said, how much is y'all's mortgage? What's the payoff? And they're like, who are you? We don't just share our personal business and we're not just going to share that. What's going on here? They said, well, we got somebody that wants to pay your mortgage off. Over $700,000. We want to pay it off. What I'm telling you is that sometimes we feel things. We start acting upon it. He says, I'm going to start discipline. I feel like I need to work on getting this mortgage paid off. And actually, God had a much bigger plan than that. He paid the whole thing off before he could make the first month's payment. What I'm telling you, we don't know the potential that lies in those slightest nudges of God. Where God's just calling us deeper, calling us closer. God just walks by and says, follow me, and I will make you. Come unto me. I wonder how many young people will just take a moment. You can step out of your seat. Come stand forward as a step towards God today. This is God. I want you to have your way. If you can use anybody, Lord, you can use me. I'm reaching up and I'm going to get a grip on grace. I'm going to let you work mightily in me. And I'm just going to let you make me whatever you want me to be in your kingdom. Because I know your eyes are to and fro across this earth. And as you look today, find me. Find me a young person that says, here am I, Lord. Here am I, Lord. Use me for your glory.
Here I am. Here I stand.
Oh, yes.
Lord, my life is in your hand. Lord, I long to see your desires revealed in me. I give myself away. Myself away so you can use me. I give myself away.